Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor and writer for Full Press Coverage Chiefs of fullpresscoverage.com here on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. We have a couple of the last article topics that we had come out over at FPC Chiefs that we'll talk about today. One of those kind of pertaining to what this episode is mostly going to be talking about today. Maybe a little bit of a shorter episode, we'll see. But the biggest thing is, kind of right now with free agency and everything going on, with the coronavirus, the rumors of maybe the draft, even though right now the NFL is not really budging, as we talked about last episode on moving the date as of now, there's rumors out there that the NFL schedule release could be delayed about a month or so into May, which I don't think is actually as big of a deal. If the NFL is still able to start their season on time, that would be pretty impressive. But also, I mean, as long as I think, even if they delayed the start of the season, going deeper into winter, I don't think is as big of a deal for the NFL. But we'll just kind of look real quick into our last couple of article topics that we had come out since the last podcast episode on Friday. We're going to start with the latest piece that we had come out on Monday, our latest Chiefs draft prospect profile for the 2020 NFL draft. One of my more favorite players, especially at this position of need for the Chiefs at linebacker, and that's Wyoming linebacker Logan Wilson. He's a guy really, to me, that could play, I think, any of the three positions for the Chiefs at, you know, Mike, Will, or Sam. The biggest thing that sticks out to me for his game is his instincts. They're extremely polished. I kind of wrote that his physicality and consistent tackling are also there. In addition, his coverage skills and anticipatory skills jump off the page. Pretty controlled player, smooth player in space. Sometimes that can hurt him. With how patient he is as far as like faster skill players maybe being able to work around him. But for the most part, a pretty controlled, smooth, patient player at the linebacker position. So I kind of wrote about Logan Wilson with his tackling. He's got one of the better form tackle attempts that I've watched in this year's linebacker class for the most part. Flies through opponents' knees and lower legs. He additionally has, you know, shown a tremendous ability to finish. He's got the range and lateral mobility to set him up well for tackle attempts. I think at times his flexibility can be in question as far as just how smooth his transitions can be in closing on and coming up the field or dropping back. But for the most part, he's got good range and lateral mobility. One thing that kind of goes hand in hand with that is I wrote about him taking on blocks. One reason why his range is so impressive is I think the fact that he has the instincts to read and react very quickly to the fact that when he's taking on blocks, sometimes he beats the blocker to their own landmarks and gets into the backfield or up the field quick enough there. His length allows, I think, beneficial opportunities to separate. And compared to other linebackers in the class, I think Logan Wilson uses his hands pretty well. His hand fighting and his hand usage is very active. I think when he also lays the boom on blockers, it can be a major blow. I mean, there's some plays on tape where, you know, he's coming in, lays a shoulder on the blockers, and they're not expecting him to come in like that. So he's got some guys off guard, pretty strong, and brings a decent sense of jolt to his punches when taking on blocks as well. Again, I think he has some pretty ample range, but the biggest thing to me, again, instincts, the football IQ, and the coverage abilities. The coverage abilities, like we said, with the range, kind of goes hand in hand with his read and react skills. If you look simply at stats, you'll see his ball production was, you know, way up there in 2019 with Wyoming. But if you look more of it at his tape, I think you'll see there is a good sense of strength and weaknesses in the coverage game. I think his strengths include, you know, natural hands, good hip sync and depth to get to the landmarks or the spots on the field that he needs to, and just his ability to read the quarterback's eyes. He had a good amount of interceptions in 2019. Some of them were just bad throws where the quarterback didn't see him and they threw it right to him. But for Logan Wilson, also, he has shown a good amount of plays where he makes a break on the football and just times it up perfectly to pick it off. So that was something that stood out. There's some weaknesses and knocks in his coverage game as well. I think, you know, it'll take development, I think, for him to stick with receivers, especially bigger body guys in the NFL, at tight end or slot receiver. Consistently getting his head turned around to the football can be an issue a little bit right now when he's running down the field and has his head, you know, or his back to the football as it's being thrown. And also, I think that he can become overmatched again just with the speed and size. Overall, I think kind of what sticks out the most in his coverage game, as good as he can be in coverage, I think he fits more in a zone coverage scheme where he's able to sit in zone, be able to watch, read, and react, and go and make a play on the football. In man coverage right now, at least in this moment coming out of Wyoming, I'm not sure how much you can actually give him at the NFL level right now off the bat. But moving back to his instincts and football IQ, I think besides the read and react skills, we kind of wrote that he has an urgent style that fits what Kansas City has brought in over the past year to revamp their defense. His pre-snap recognition and communication with teammates helps lead to tackles for loss, sacks, takeaways at Wyoming, at least, is what he showed there. And again, the patience and under-controlled ability. He has a good feel for counters and tricks. Running backs that use a lot of cutback ability, he's usually able to stay in his zone and not overcommit most of the time. There is some plays he will get up the field a little bit too quickly, but I mean, for the most part, that's on plays, I think, where it's more, it's not runs that are going to hurt you with the cutback step up the middle. So overall, with this Chiefs fit, again, I kind of wrote zone coverage ability with the passing game, but I think he can, his intelligence, his effort, and other aspects of his game that he's shown consistently, I think would make him an early down defender with what the Chiefs currently have right now at linebacker. Reggie Ragland is now gone. He went to the Detroit Lions last week. So you compare him with Anthony Hitchens right now and Damian Wilson, I think, is an early down defender for a similar role to what the Chiefs see right now in Ben Neiman as well. Again, I think he's got a sharp skill set to him, and his value with, I think, where people are plugging him right now in the draft as probably a third round pick at best, could be also a fourth or fifth rounder. I think fourth rounder is the sweet spot for him. I think where people are plugging in and playing him in the draft, the value there for the Chiefs makes a lot of sense. So that's the latest draft profile that we had come out on Monday to kick off this week with Logan Wilson, the linebacker from Wyoming. I do know the next draft profile that will have come out, hopefully the same day this podcast episode comes out on Tuesday, is going to be Clemson cornerback A.J. Terrell. So stay tuned to that. That should be out, like I said, very soon, if it's not the same day as this podcast episode, hopefully the day or two after. But kind of moving on to what I wanted to talk about the most, goes a little bit with our other article over the weekend from Sunday. DeMarcus Robinson, wide receiver, re-signing with the Kansas City Chiefs on a one-year deal, going to pay him about $2.3 million for 2020, which is the new minimum for veterans in the NFL after the new CBA was passed just a few weeks ago. First off, I think the team and fans are very happy to have him back. This was somewhat of a surprising move, as we kind of wrote in this article, that, you know, he was expected to receive a tremendous amount of contract offers with pretty ample money per year in those contract offers on the open market. But again, part of it with just the coronavirus, maybe not being able to have that comfort level on the open market for some teams right now is what made this return to Kansas City possible. But also, you look at the wide receiver draft class, one of the deepest wide receiver drafts in a long time, that I think also factors in. So maybe there's a lot of teams out there that would have been willing to pay DeMarcus Robinson a hefty amount of money for his services, $8 to $10 million a year maybe, that feel comfortable going through the draft compared to signing a wide receiver on the open market right now. So again, it's an interesting thing there. to not see him get that. But as we kind of wrote, you know, he started off his career mostly as a special teamer, fourth round pick out of the University of Florida in 2016. Limited snaps on special teams was about it for him going on earlier in his career, but we really saw him start getting wide receiver reps in Alex Smith's last season in Kansas City in 2017. He had a few big games in that year. There was a lot of games where Smith targeted him heavily, but they just were not quite able to connect. I think there was a big game that year where the Steelers won at Kansas City, gave the Chiefs their first loss in week 5 or 6, and Smith missed him on a wide open touchdown. There were some other games that year where Robinson saw increased opportunities just because there was a very big lull and stretch where the Chiefs were struggling down the middle part of the year in 2017. So he got some increased opportunities there. Some highlights for him that year. There was a Thursday night game with the Oakland Raiders where him and Smith connected for 5 catches, 69 yards. He also had a long catch of 33 yards in that game. So he showed in that game he could win deep or in the short to intermediate routes, and that continued in 2018 and 19. As we kind of wrote in his article about the re-signing, you know, him just kind of moving up the ladder since Patrick Mahomes became the starter in 2018. Overall with the wide receiver position when Mahomes became the starter, we saw the Chiefs kind of become more flexible at receiver. Obviously, they brought in Sammy Watkins that year, but we saw, you know, Garrett Dieter get some opportunities as the year went on. Byron Pringle a little bit here and there, if I remember right, down the stretch. So he had a reception in 12 of the regular season games that year as his role kind of increased. You know, his best moments from that season, I kind of wrote, came after the bye week where he had a big 38-yard reception at the Raiders right before halftime. It was kind of a weird play where Mahomes stepped up in the pocket, fired a fastball to him. He was on the offense's right side of the field right before halftime, so he had to go out of bounds basically to stop the clock. And he actually went across the field all the way to the left, was somehow able to hold on to the football when guys were trying to punch it out from his hands. And he was able to get out of bounds, set the Chiefs up for a Travis Kelce touchdown pass right before halftime. The next week in that really entertaining game versus the Ravens in 2018, he had a season-high 5 receptions, made one big play where Patrick Mahomes made the no-look pass, the famous no-look pass from that game. He made that catch on a crossing route on that play. And then moving on into the playoffs, his only catch in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. Despite the loss, his big catch was monumental at the time. 27-yard play where Mahomes fitted in there, but it was a tough catch because the defender was right on his back. The defensive back that was going against him was really close to deflecting that pass and ending the game, but he makes the 27-yard catch to set Harrison Butker up for a game-time field goal at the end of regulation there in that AFC Championship game. Moving on to 2019, though, just this past year, his role really got crucial early in the season just because of the injuries the Chiefs had early on. Tyreek Hill goes down week 1 with that awkward collarbone injury, spleen injury, whatever it was. And then you had Sammy Watkins get hurt a few weeks later. So DeMarcus Robinson had a big opportunity, and he came through with a couple games there. Week 2 at the Raiders, career highs, I believe, in catches with 6, 172 yards and 2 touchdowns. There was a game there where the next week against the Ravens, he ended up having 2 timely catches with one play on the sideline where it looked like, you know, at first he didn't make the catch in bounds, but he got both knees down while extending his arms above the out of bounds line on the sideline to make the catch. And he had a really, really highlight reel touchdown catch in that game where Mahomes lobbed one to him and he made the one-handed catch on the left side of the end zone. Moving on to the playoffs, though, he had some timely catches. I mean, he did have some drops, but at the same time, still had some timely catches in the playoffs where, you know, he was able to put the Chiefs in good position to score. And he had some big moments late in the regular season as well, a touchdown versus the Chargers, week 17. So he finished the season with career highs in catches with 35, 484 yards, and then 4 touchdowns, which is half of his career touchdowns to this point. Now obviously he's got the Super Bowl ring to put the cherry on top of a growing and vibrant role in Kansas City. And again, a bit shocking to see him return, given what market was expected and rumored to be out there for him, but the team and obviously the fans happy to see him back. But this also goes back to what the Chiefs' kind of motive has been right now in this offseason, is they're trying to retain as much of their Super Bowl core as they can. I saw a tweet out there the other day after this signing was made, re-signing was made, that as it stands right now, the Chiefs have retained about 57% of their team from last year, as far as that played a minimum number of starts or games, which I think is the most for a defending Super Bowl champion team as of now since the 2001 Patriots. So a lot of teams you see that have won the Super Bowl have to lose guys right away. But right now the Chiefs are utilizing some short deals, some guys that are willing to take less to stay in Kansas City because of the team they have. And they're capitalizing on this run it back operation in Kansas City. So again, retaining a lot of the Super Bowl core is really impressive. There is the tough thing though is, as we'll kind of move on here in a minute, is the salary cap situation. They are, they have a move that they could make that would open up $14 million in cap space pretty easily, and that's Sammy Watkins. With this DeMarcus Robinson re-signing, Watkins' role, or, the question about him staying or going, is kind of increased, I think, a little bit. We'll see what happens with Watkins. That's something that's still very much up in the air, as we wrote about in this re-signing article. If Watkins stays, the Chiefs will benefit from being able to keep their top 4 receivers from 2019, and really top 5. Byron Pringle could provide more stability still than what he had in 2019. But if Watkins is gone, DeMarcus Robinson could get a increased role as maybe competing as the wide receiver 2 on the depth chart. So it's really an interesting thing right now. And the kind of the bigger thing that I wanted to talk about was the salary cap situation on this episode. We talked a lot about it on past episodes. There's a lot of questions still out there on what the Chiefs are going to do with Sammy Watkins, with Chris Jones. I think it's, we said before, Chris Jones, I think that we thought one way or another he's going to play with the Chiefs in 2020. Kind of, it felt like that was going backwards a little bit, more likely that he could be traded. But now after a couple of weeks in free agency, it feels like we're going back to the point where no matter what, Chris Jones will play for the Chiefs in 2020. I think that's somewhat confident to feel. But again, you never know. He could be wanting to hold out no matter what, given the money situation. We'll see there what happens. I think Watkins right now, though, with this DeMarcus Robinson re-signing and given the salary cap situation, I think it has to be one thing or the other with him. Is it's a restructured contract, and maybe he gets an extension for a couple more years in Kansas City, but is salary cap hit for 2020 is cut in half or so, or it's going to be he's flat out released and cut. I would not be shocked with either one of those moves right now. Again, I think there's some sense of Brett Veach, the general manager, wanting to keep Sammy Watkins in Kansas City no matter what, if he can help it. But right now, given the future of the team and what's kind of the most important for your team building right now and what the Chiefs do best, I think keeping Chris Jones, obviously, is more important than keeping Sammy Watkins if it comes down to it. So I would not be shocked to see him released here pretty soon. And again, with kind of this coronavirus stuff going out there, as we'll talk about in a minute, there's some different news out there with what the Chiefs salary cap situation actually is. But one way or another, the Chiefs are kind of allowed to be patient right now just because the free agent market has kind of hit a standstill with the medical questions and stuff out there with the coronavirus, not being able to meet in team facilities and everything. So it's kind of interesting. The Chiefs are not having to maybe rush as much as they would need to in a different year when all this stuff would not be going on in these times. But, the biggest thing that I wanted to kind of touch on still before this episode ends is Field Yates from ESPN threw a tweet out there on Monday saying that, you know, these are the teams that have the lowest amount of cap space. And he said the Chiefs are at $177. So there's people out there right now that actually have more money to spend than the Chiefs do. There is some differing news on this because over the cap and spot rack shows that the Chiefs are actually over the cap right now. Over the cap site says the Chiefs are at minus $255,000 or around there in salary cap space. Spot rack shows the team is about minus $1.6 or $1.7 million. But to kind of explain the salary cap to length a little more, and I don't know how to calculate the salary cap sometimes as much as other people, but basically some of the contracts that the Chiefs have done in free agency with, you know, picking up the club options of Damian Williams, Damian Wilson, and then signing the outside free agents of Antonio Hamilton and Mike Remmers, I believe those are official. So I think the re-signings of DeMarcus Robinson, Mike Pinnell, and Anthony Sherman are probably not recognized yet or official by the league standards. So there is actually a loophole out there where the league, I don't think, technically lets NFL teams ever become over the salary cap. Every player's contract has to be approved by the league before it's enforceable or, you know, official. So when a new contract is submitted, the league can simply basically reject it until the team is under the cap. So it makes a lot of sense to see that. So I think Field Yates is actually probably more correct or official to what is actually out there by the NFL standards. The Chiefs don't have a lot of salary cap space, but it is still under the cap at $177. And it's just kind of funny to see it that low. Again, there's going to have to be a big move be made. I think Watkins getting released, Laurent Duvernay, Tardif probably being released or traded as well as a possibility we've talked about a lot. So there's a lot out there, but it's really just kind of interesting to see. The salary cap, a lot of people think it's actually a myth with how good a rosters NFL teams can actually build. In a way, again, the NFL doesn't often allow teams to actually go over the cap. So in a sense, that's kind of a true statement by people that saying it's a myth, but it is real. It's just, it's kind of a weird thing. And the Chiefs right now, again, with the times like this that we're in, they've kind of gained an opportunity to have the time to take their time right now and make the moves they want to make in a much more calmer fashion. So, and Brett Veach, like we've said before in other podcast episodes and articles, I think he's earned the right just in this first couple few years as a general manager to turn the time and trust to take time and figure things out. And obviously, you know, I think right now we're going to see a lot of moves come at once is what I feel is going to happen with the Chiefs, you know, whether it's Sammy Watkins getting cut or Laurent Duvernay-Tardif being cut or traded. I think we're going to see, especially if the draft stays as scheduled right now for April 23rd through the 25th, I think we're going to see a lot of moves at once where the Chiefs get rid of a couple of guys and they accumulate more draft picks either with those trades or just by trading down in the NFL draft itself. Because right now, as much as they've done a good job of doing what they wanted to do and retaining some of their Super Bowl core, the Chiefs only have 5 draft picks right now, and not being able to sign a lot of outside free agents right now with the salary cap situation, this team is still going to have to do a little bit of work to retain their level of play that they did last season. I mean, they're still one of the top teams in the league, so I'm not saying they dropped off significantly, but right now, this is going to be an interesting few months for the Chiefs to see how they build this team. I think they're going to try to make a lot of moves at once that opens up salary cap space, obviously, and then you'll see maybe them try to accumulate as many draft picks as they can to what they already have right now, because you only have 5 picks right now, all in the first 5 rounds, and I think they feel comfortable maybe with those 5 picks, but I think Brett Veach is going to try to work the trade market on the drafts with the draft picks and maybe with a couple other moves we see here down the line. So that's kind of what I wanted to touch on the most is just the salary cap situation and the outlook for the Chiefs going forward has been up in the air. We've talked about it a lot already, but definitely something right now that was kind of funny, but interesting to see the Chiefs actually at $177 in salary cap space. As we move almost into April now in this offseason. So, of course, you guys can always follow me on Twitter at eBearCat9, all one word, lowercase and the number 9. Follow the FPC Chiefs Twitter account as well at capital F, capital P, capital C, underscore Chiefs. We just threw a poll out there actually on Sunday night after the DeMarcus Robinson re-signing. So if you're on Twitter and haven't voted yet, go ahead and vote over there. We gave the options of, you know, with the DeMarcus Robinson re-signing, what would you rather see the Chiefs do with Sammy Watkins, a restructured contract, or release him? So go vote for that over there at FPC underscore Chiefs on Twitter. Of course, you guys can also join the full press coverage team if you think you have an interest there, especially even this team, the full press coverage Chiefs team. If you want to join us, you can go to fullpresscoverage.com/employment for more info. If you're looking to be a writer, a podcaster, or even an editor, of course, visit our friends over at Sportscaster as well. There's daily video content there with FPC Radio Live. Visit the full press coverage page there at sportscaster.com/fullpresscoverage. You can make your own account at Sportscaster to give your own sports opinions out to the world. It's quick, it's simple, and it's easy. So again, stay tuned to fullpresscoverage.com. Full press coverage Chiefs, like always. There's going to be a lot of good content still coming out throughout this week as we move into April. And we will see you guys next time.